Fans around the world have followed punk rock band Fugazi for more than 10 years. Since 1989, the band has sold hundreds of thousands of albums by making music their own way, shunning the mainstream record industry. The four members of Fugazi have earned their following by living what they sing. Their lyrics and their music challenge convention, and so do they. They refuse to play at venues that don't allow all ages, and they've managed to keep their ticket prices to just $5. Fugazi just released its 9th album, End Hits, and like the previous 8, the band members recorded it, produced it, and mailed it to record stores across the country with absolutely no help from the music industry. They say they have no other choice if they want to remain artistically and economically independent. They do all of this from a most unlikely place, a suburban home outside Washington, D.C. Band members Brendan Canty, Joe Lally, Guy Picciotto, and Ian MacKay worked on many albums in the basement of this small blue-gray shingled home. The ceiling of the basement is so low that when Ian MacKay plays guitar and sings, he has to stand very still, his head wedged in between two rafters. Surprisingly, he says, their practice sessions have generated little concern from the neighbors.
One time in 1982, probably, there was a woman who lived behind our house, sort of catty corner, an elderly woman who was out gardening, and she said, "Excuse me, what do you guys do in that house?" And I said, "Oh, we just live there." And she says, "Something is making our china rattle." I said, it must be our stereos. We'll turn it down. And I think that, as you can hear, like, the sounds from the thriving boulevard and the 7-Eleven easily, you know, mask whatever sound might come out of the house.
We follow Ian MacKay inside. It's an old house with dark, creaking floorboards, some heavy mission-style chairs in various states of repair. Off the pink and blue painted kitchen is a tiny office where Ian spends most of the day organizing band things.
I do all the label stuff and all the band stuff out of here, and this is sort of the center of everything, basically.
And you have all these letters on the walls behind you from fans.
I answer all my mail. It's kind of a big deal for me, and I have done so since the beginning. This is a letter from somebody who I think must be about 13 years old, and his name is Scott. It says, "Ian MacKay, I was wondering if you could please, 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 please," and this goes on for 213 pleases. Autograph this picture for me. Thanks, Scott. And he says, "I just got your tape. It's burly."
Ian assumes, is a compliment. Although he's 36 years old, Ian relates to kids like Scott and his other young fans because when he was a teenager, he, too, tried to find meaning in music. Ian and the other three band members found it in the punk rock scene in the early 1980s.
For the first time, kids were picking up guitars, they're writing their own songs, forming their own bands, putting out their own records, doing their own shows. They created a touring network across the country. They put out magazines. There was an entire community that was formed by kids, and all of this was done without the blessing or the interest of the industry, and for the most part, done without any hope of profit. This was like, that is true rock and roll history.
And in the early 1980s, when all this was happening, you were one of those young kids. How did you fit into this?
I graduated in 1980. And my family was very, very much involved with a lot of the anti-war protests and a lot of the kind of alternative lifestyles of the late 60s. I think that the 70s seemed very ominous to me. I felt really kind of marginalized because I didn't really seem to fit into anything. But in the late 70s and early 80s, each of us in our own way found this underground music kind of scene, this subculture that exists and has existed all along, but we found it, and it represented a certain kind of freedom or a certain kind of nonconformity that appealed to us. And it fostered a lot of creativity on our part. I felt like it made us feel like we could do things, and there was an audience there to listen to it. And this was really, really important. And I think that each of us in the band feels like that that is something worth keeping. And even though we could have sold like our little key to that subculture, we could have polished up those keys real good and sold them, we didn't. We figured that it's more important to keep that underground thing still alive. And it is. There's still plenty of stuff going on. And the reason you don't hear about it is because it's underground. That's the point.
First song off your first album, Waiting Room, I perceived as almost a political anthem, almost a call to action, that people, the listeners, are sitting in a waiting room and you're telling them to get up and do something.
Song is about getting up and doing something, but it doesn't necessarily have to be something political. It might be something totally personal. It's hard to really give anybody any real sense about the kind of music we play. Music is a secret language, at least the music we play is, and it's not about mass consumption. It's about people who are interested in exploring certain areas of sound or whatever. It's like jazz in the same way. It's similar to jazz in the sense that we're in a realm of creativity or ideas, music ideas, that have no limit. There's no boundary, and there's no definition.
Let's talk about the song Suggestion.
Okay.
Also off your first album. Mm-hmm. And that song is overtly about men harassing women. And I find it interesting that you sing it, and it's mm-hmm. from a woman's point of view. But I suppose that also can have a lot of interpretations.
Well, yeah, and it has. Originally, when I wrote the song, it was a conversation between a man and a woman. And the woman said, "Why can't I walk down the street for your suggestion?" Which has certain meanings. The man said, "Why can't you walk down the street for your suggestion?" Which has a really creepy kind of turnaround, because it sounds like the man is suggesting, or he's saying that the woman is being suggestive, while she's saying, "Why can't I walk down without people suggesting things to me?" So, and then she says, "Is my body my only trait in the eyes of men?" And then he says, "Is your body your only trait in the eyes of men?" So again, it sort of has this sort of weird kind of double entendre. Anyway, after halfway through that song, I just started to hate the man in the conversation, and I just took him out of the conversation altogether.
She does nothing to deserve it. It looks just her because he wants to observe it. We sit back like they taught us. We keep quiet like they taught us.
It's a very controversial song. Well, not so much now, but for over the years, people had talked about it being... There's a lot of controversy about that song, because I think that some women found it kind of patronizing or felt that I didn't have any right to be singing about this sort of issue, which I think is it's nonsense. It's a human issue, and it's something that people should and will continue have to deal with.
What is it meant to have your own label?
I think it's just, it's like how you tie your shoes. You know, you're taught as a child how to tie your shoes, and this is just the way we tie our shoes. Like, this is the way we've learned how to work, and it never made any sense to us to give up this kind of control. We've created something that obviously, a vehicle that actually works. And while I know that there was a time where labels were offering us a lot of money, and they wanted to distribute our record, they wanted to put us out, or you know, whatever, they wanted to sign us, even though I understand that there was sort of a pot of gold at the end of that, I think that in the long run, the more interesting story would be to see this thing through. But also keep in mind that I think that each of us Since the beginning of the band, we firmly have had our hands on the plug. You know, any one of the four of us can pull the plug on this thing anytime we want, and it's up to us to decide whether or not we think it's a worthwhile way to spend your time. And I think so far, for at least 11 years, we have.
Ian Mackay of Fugazi. The band has been slowing down a bit since the birth 8 months ago of drummer Brendan Canty's first child. Fugazi's latest album is called End Hits.